Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Jette Christensen, the manager of the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Christensen.
Thank you for having me this morning.
As we are aware, we're seeing a renewed global concern as a result of the further spread of African swine fever. First of all, what is African swine fever? What are its clinical symptoms? And from an animal health perspective, how serious is this infection?
African swine fever is a disease that came out of Africa, as the name suggests. It was first discovered in Africa. But over the last years, it's spread to Eastern Europe. And it's a serious disease. It will only affect pigs, so it's not a human health concern. It's not something that humans can be infected with or suffer from, but it is a serious disease in swine. And in Eastern Europe, it's pretty much endemic, meaning that a lot of wild pigs suffer from the disease, and it's reported regularly, and there's been quite a few cases in 2018. Now, from the wild pigs, it spills over in the domestic pigs and causes quite a bit of havoc in farms there. And that's why it's very serious, and the signs that you can see in domestic pigs is very varied. It ranges from sudden death, where you just suddenly see pigs drop dead without any clinical signs before that. And it's not only piglets, it's also sows. So it's a whole range of ages that can suddenly drop dead from this disease. It's also found in a less sudden form. It's still pretty quick from the first clinical signs until mortality. And the death, you can get up to 100% death in farms with this disease. But before pigs die of this not so rapid disease, they can show fever up to 40 degrees Celsius. They can have reddening of the skin. They can have discoloring, bluish color, especially on the lower parts. And there can be vomiting, or there can be bleeding from nose and from rectum, and there can sometimes be bloody diarrhea. Abortions may occur, of course, when sows get that sick, then they can abort pretty quickly. So that's a second form of the disease. Then there's a form that is a little bit slower. Let's back up. For the first two diseases, it's pretty obvious that if we get that on our farms, we will see it happen quite quickly, because nobody can not notice mortality when you have so many pigs dying. The supercured form also have quite a mortality. It's 30 to 70% of the pigs might die. That's still a high number for our productions, but it varies very widely. In this form, the signs are less intense. There might be a slight fever. There might be reduced appetite, depression. And usually the disease lasts 5 to 30 days. So it's really a bit more subtle. And then the fourth form is a chronic form with low mortality and various subtle signs, loss of weight, irregular peaks of temperature, some respiratory signs, coughing and so on, necrosis, you know, red patches on the skin, and anything really. And it could develop over 2 to 15 months. And that's really of a worry for us, because a disease like that could sneak in and it could be spreading over months and before we actually detect it. So that's serious. So quite clearly with a disease with a mortality that high, abortion rates and so on and so forth, it's serious for the individual producer who might get this disease into their herds. But it's even more serious to the industry as a whole because it's one of the diseases that really will shut down borders and stop export. So suddenly we cannot, from regions of Canada, depending on if how localized an outbreak would be, to the entire Canada could shut down all export. And that's really a secondary important impact of the disease.
What are the actual trade implications of this infection and why?
Well, as I said, export could close down completely. On top of that, in order to control the disease, there would be movement restrictions within Canada. So it will disrupt the trade internationally or export, but it would also impact the trade locally in Canada.
Why the heightened concern right now? What are we seeing in terms of the progression of the spread of this infection?
This infection has had quite a hot spot, if you can say so, in Eastern Europe for the last couple of years. It has spread to the entire Russia as well. But early August, on the 3rd of August, China reported the first case from China. It was in northeastern China, and what it seems to have happened is that the strain that got into China might have come from Russia. Exactly how it got in, we don't know. And I don't know if anybody knows. But from the first case farm, they've done a trace back. And this first case farm brought in some pigs in early July. And these pigs originated from a farm that brought in pigs in March, and they showed clinical signs and sudden death in April. So the suspicion is that African swine fever might have been in China since April. The farmer then sold the pigs that survived, and it spread to this first farm. And in addition to that, from that area, some pigs were transported 1,400 kilometers south through a lot of provinces that also have quite pig dense areas, and they were detected as a second case. They're at least 1,400 kilometers apart. Infected pigs have been traveling 1,400 kilometers, so we don't know how widespread African swine fever is in China right now. And that's the current worry, that there is African swine fever in China.
How much of a risk of infection is North America potentially at this stage, and why, and how significant is that risk?
It's early days. So right now, the risk of transferring in a disease such as African swine fever from China to Canada is the first thing we worry about is, of course, live pigs, semen, and embryos. So, of course, a disease like African swine fever can be introduced to Canadian swine herds through live pigs, semen, and embryos. Now, if people follow the import regulations set out by CFIA, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, they should be safe. So it's absolutely critical to be very aware of when you import any pigs, make sure that you follow the Canadian Food Inspection Agency import regulations. So that's one thing. The other thing about African swine fever is that it's a virus and it can survive months outside the host. It will also survive in pork and pork products. So that makes it very important to think about people and how people travel. So what you need to think about is really that African swine fever can come into Canadian farms with people that travel overseas. So if the producer, if farm workers travel overseas with their family on any business or pleasure, there's a risk that they can bring back African swine fever on their clothes, on their boots, and so with everything they bring back. So that's a worry. The other worry is that sometimes you bring in contract workers to do repair or maintenance on the farm. These contract workers could have come home from a vacation in China or Eastern Europe and bring back African swine fever. So that's another concern. And then the third, with people traveling, that is that should be on producers' mind right now, is hosting exchange students. If exchange students come in from other countries to live on the farm, that's quite okay. But the producers have to think up front how they get the students onto the farm and what biosecurity issues they want to look at. And they should talk about these biosecurity issues with traveling with their herd veterinarian. They should talk about it with their farm workers to make sure that everybody is quite on top of what needs to be done. So again, it's live animals into the herds, it's people traveling, and there's one other issue that is particularly important with African swine fever, and that's food scraps. African swine fever, the virus, can survive for months in food scraps. Even if it's been slightly cooked, if it hasn't been fully cooked, the virus can survive, and just a little piece of food that the swine pick up could cause an outbreak. So it's very important as swine producers, when you travel abroad, never to bring food back. Do not accept a gift of food from foreign visitors or people returning from overseas, and do never, ever bring food scraps to the barn. There is indication that food scraps played a big role in the first couple of outbreaks in China. So it's not something taken out of a, you know, movie or anything. It's real. It happens.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yes. The Canadian West Swine Health Intelligence Network had a quarterly meeting, and a report from the quarterly meeting will go out to all producers. And in that report, we talk about African swine fever, why it's a concern. We talk about some of the signs, and we give some very practical guidelines on how to deal with hosting international visitors and students on your farm, and what to do when you travel over farm. So there's some very pointed guidelines there that we modified from a U.S. Guidelines.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Our guest has been Dr. Jette Christensen, the manager of the Canada West Swine Health Intelligence Network. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.